Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. I look forward to our time together. It's always good as you get into a rhythm of these videos to just stay at it and stay put. It's like anything else. The more you do, the better it just begins to flow, the easier it is to be able to just work with God. You know, God's never had a problem communicating with anybody, but he has to work through us. So we'll do our very best as I continue to remind you that these videos for Adventures in Grace, the reason why we brought that thought to mind with Adventures in Grace is because we wanted you to know that the grace of God not only is his unmerited favor, the ability of God to do what you can't do for yourself. We understand all of that, especially through salvation. It wasn't by our works, it was by his grace. But I want you to see the grace of God as God's influence upon your life in multiple ways where God can work, manifest himself, and show you how much that he's right there with you and that a relationship can be very tangible, number one. Number two, that you can get your prayers answered, because the more tangible that relationship is, the easier it is to use your faith in God. In fact, using faith becomes just extremely normal. It becomes a response to the person that you're becoming very aware of. Number three, you'll be able to share testimonies with others instead of just scriptures. Thank God for the scriptures that we share, but it's easier for others who need to hear these truths to just let you become the scriptures by sharing your testimony of what God has done for you. As we get into our thoughts here in this session, I do want to go right back to Matthew chapter 11, 27 to 30, and I trust that you are as excited about these scriptures that I share every single week as I am. I'm the one sharing them, and yet I can't wait to share them again. The Message Bible, it says, Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique father and son operation coming out of father and son intimacies. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does, but I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Well, in our last session, we concluded some thoughts along the lines of Jesus and his conversation with Nicodemus. What a conversation that was, endeavoring to bring Nicodemus into the fullness of the truth of why Jesus was on the face of the earth, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You say, well, how can you have everlasting life? Well, Jesus said right there, right at the beginning of the third chapter, John 3:3, he said, you must be born again. And of course, one translation said, you must be refathered from above. Well, this is something that took Nicodemus definitely by surprise. He didn't understand that kind of talk, realizing Jesus was talking about the spirit of man, the person on the inside being created brand new by the wonderful work of which he would accomplish. Well, all these things bring us into what Jesus was trying to relate to Nicodemus as normal, regular, to be expected lifestyle, where you're living out of your spiritual connection with God, not out of the fleshly connection with the world. I don't mind if I say that again, where you're living out of the spiritual connection with God and not out of the fleshly connection to the world. So that brings us right to this particular thought that I want to go to over in Genesis, and I want to bring you over to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to look here at the Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4. Give me just a second while I get there, just switching over from my notes here to the Bible that I've got here on my iPad. Genesis chapter 1. And let's get here. I'll be there in just a second. Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. In verse 4, and God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now, I want to stop right there for a second and just reveal to you, and if I don't say these Hebrew names correctly, you'll forgive me. But we know right now that the first word concerning God that is revealed to us, which gives us some type of information concerning how God wanted us to perceive him from the beginning, is Elohim. And it means the one true and only God. And as we see right here, it says, in the beginning, Elohim, or in the beginning, the one true and only God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of Elohim, or the Spirit of the one true and only God, began to hover over the face of the waters. And then we see, and Elohim, or the one true and only God, said, let there be light. And then, of course, light appeared. Now, what I want to bring your thoughts to, and this can go rather quickly here, but I want to definitely point this out. You look in verse 7, thus God, or thus Elohim, made the firmament. Verse 8, and Elohim called the firmament day. I know you understand what I'm doing right now. I'm pointing out that every single verse that speaks about God only reveals God in this particular individual first mention of the characteristic of God as Elohim, the one true and only God. You're going to see why this is so important to the theme that to be supernatural, the theme that to be miraculous, the theme that to live out of your spirit is extremely normal and regular. Everything else would be abnormal. In other words, in the garden, you know, Adam had a problem where once he sinned, we know that he was full of fear and he hid himself. So did Eve. Well, hiding yourself from God is very abnormal. Having fear in your life is very abnormal. It's not normal. Why I want you to get this is because you need to reject that which is abnormal and you need to embrace that which is normal. We catch ourselves so much of the time saying, well, you know, it's the supernatural world of God and the natural world of this life. Well, if it's natural, then you think it's normal and regular and to be expected. You don't bow up against it when it comes. You don't put your hands up and say, stop, that's not going to enter into my house. Most Christians that I see welcome the negative and then try to get God to get rid of it instead of resisting it to come in the first place. You know, if we're going to increase our spiritual connection with the Lord, something that he gave us on a great level, the highest of all, then we need to continue to make choices, continue to just see ourselves connected to him, and let those choices that we make foster a relationship that's real and tangible that produces results. I know you're with me on that. So let's go even a little bit further here. It says in verse 9, then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together. Verse 10, and God called the dry land earth. And verse 11, then Elohim, or God, said, let the earth bring forth grass. And then we see down here in 14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament. And we see in verse 16, then Elohim made two great lights. And so on and on and on it goes. And if we continue to go this far, we can also see that after you created everything that he created, and now it's coming down to the wire where he's going to create his most fantastic creation. And that creation is you and me. Hallelujah. We see in verse 26, then Elohim said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So Elohim created man in his own image. In the image of Elohim, he created him male and female. He created them. And we see as we go all the way down to the 31st verse, where God then inspects everything that he made. And yes, I use the word inspects. It says, then God saw everything that he made. Saw means he was inspecting it. He wanted to make sure it was perfect, exactly as he desired it to be. And do you know, it wasn't just perfect, he was even better than that. It says, then God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. Now we're going to come to the first verse of the second chapter. And let me read a little slower. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. Verse 2. And on the seventh day, Elohim ended his work which he had done. And he, Elohim, rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Verse 3. Then Elohim blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God, or Elohim, the one true and only God, had created and made. Have we varied it all as far as the revelation that God desires for man to know about him in the way that he created? And the answer is absolutely not. It stays perfect in form all the way from chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 31, and chapter 2, 1, 2, and 3. Now, what is the context of chapter 2, 1, 2, and 3? And that is that God has finished everything that he has made. So now verse 4, it says, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Okay, stay with me. This is really good here, and we've got a few minutes left. Notice now that there is the mention of a brand new name that has significance to, because it's attached to, the same name of Elohim. It must have significance to the name Elohim. So now we see that God, by his design, wants mankind to know something more about him. Now, we could look back at the first 31 chapters of the first book and the first chapter, 31 verses of the first chapter, 3 verses of the second chapter, and we could say that all of this revelation could very well be looked at from hindsight. In other words, we're here today and we look back unto that day, because at that particular time, he was just creating everything. But now it looks like what's getting ready to happen is God is going to interact with his creation. So we have the word Lord, or Jehovah. Now, I know that the Hebrews are going to tell me that it's a different name. For the sake of this is as good as I get, what I'm going to share is Jehovah. Jehovah Elohim. And the meaning of this first name, or Lord, is the self-existent one. What do we know about that? He never was created, and he's never not going to be here. He always was, okay? That's the genius of God. Thank God for that. He always was and always will be. The self-existent one who reveals himself. So left on its own, we see that he is the one who has been here before time itself. And he is one in the end that will remain throughout all the ages and forever and forever. Now it says the last part of that name is he reveals himself. To reveal means to disclose. To reveal means to manifest. To manifest means you're cooking something and you have a lid on your pot, and you want to look inside, so you have to lift the lid to see what's in the pot, to see how it's cooking. So God is the one who has always been here, and he wants to reveal himself. Now, this name is a covenant name. The fact that it's a covenant name means that God desires now to be in covenant with something. And the something that he wants to be in covenant with, he wants to bring a revelation to them. And the second part is Jehovah Elohim. So now we see the first 31 verses, the next chapter 3 verses of God showing us the history that he is the one true and only God. And right now in the fourth verse, we see that God wants somebody or something to know who he is. Is this not exciting? Hallelujah. I hope you're getting this. I know you are. But do you see what's happening? Why did he wait until creation was finished? Because the last creation was man, who he made in his image and in his likeness, just like himself. Image and likeness means manifestation and representation. We represent him and we are a living manifestation of him. That truth you can find over in 2 Corinthians and chapter 3, where Paul talks about we are manifested epistles of Christ, that people don't need a letter of recommendation or commendation for us. They just need to watch us a little bit and see who Jesus is inside of us. We are representations and manifestations. I've got just another minute to give you these thoughts. This is a powerful thought here, but I want you to see that immediately upon God creating man, he didn't wait 20 years, 30 years, he didn't wait a month while man had breath in his lung to walk around and try to figure out who he was, what everything else was, and what was his purpose. Immediately upon the breath that went into Adam and he came alive, Adam and God were looking at one another, just like I remember when my first daughter was born, and this was a first experience for me to be a father. I remember that the doctors gave me Allie, and they wrapped her up, and she was so pretty even at that moment. And I took her over to the side, and I just said to her, Allie, I want to promise you for the rest of my life that I'll make sure that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you'll make heaven your home, that God will be real to you and you'll love him with all your heart. And I want you to know that I'm going to take care of you to the best ability that I can. I believe I'll give you the best and I'm going to do all I can to do it. And I'll watch over you, I'll protect you, and I'll be your father forever. And I love you, Allie. And I just took her in my arms and I just spoke to her and I said those things to her as a covenant for me to my daughter, that I would always give my best to do whatever I could to give her an amazing life and to bring her to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 The reason why it tickles my heart is because I'm just following suit after what God did. I mean, the moment Adam is alive, God looked into Adam's eyes and said, I'm your daddy. I am Jehovah Elohim. I now reveal myself to you as I am the self-existent one who has been here forever. I make a covenant with you that I am your daddy and I will take care of you. I'm the one true and only God. And what did it mean? I'm the one true. You'll never need another. If there's a self-proclaiming God out there and it's not me, then don't pay attention to him, because I am the one who has always been here and always will. And I will take care of you and I will bless you and help you. And then if Adam looked around and he saw all that God made, God could say, Adam, I made all of this for you. You get to take dominion and authority over all of it and rule it, for I've made it for you. And God and Adam walked together and talked together, and it was the most normal thing that could happen in Adam's life, is to see God and hear God and feel God, be protected by God. The provision of God was there. The health and strength of God was there because it was normal. And I want to show you through these scriptures. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day, verse 4, chapter 2 of Genesis, that the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, made the earth and the heavens. Our God, hallelujah, wants you to know that it is the most normal and natural thing for you 6,000-7,000 years later, after he made man and all the bumpy roads of man trying to find his way as man sinned and lost his place with God. But Jesus brought us back into an amazing relationship with the Father so that we can know him and experience him in the same way that Adam did, where it's just as real, praise the Lord, to us, life with God, as it was with Adam. Hallelujah. Well, really, really fun. A little grace story as we're closing here. God just knows how to connect people and put things in the right place so that when you get to the right place, something else is in the right place, if you know what I mean. And here we are a couple of weeks ago going to see some friends, and some friends were coming in later than when we got into the airport. So we were there endeavoring in Minnesota to pick them up, and there was a long line. A bunch of planes had come in, and of course, Minnesota's a pretty big airport. So we got in this line and it was just slow as can be, but we didn't mind because as we were talking to them, you know, the escalators were out, so they had to wait, you know, for an elevator. And so there were so many people waiting to get in the elevator, then go down. The elevator has to go up, take some more people down. So they were late getting to the carousel where their luggage was. And as we were pulling up and we were like 10 feet away from door number two, they called and said, "We've got our luggage. We're coming out of door number two." Amen. Isn't that awesome? I just jumped out of the car. There they were as they came out. We're looking at each other, you know, about 20 feet apart. Just so perfect in the timing. And you could say, wow, that was lucky. That was a coincidence. But folks, the more I've been doing this and the more that I give my allegiance to God, the more that I look for his influence in my life and I acknowledge it as something that blesses my heart with an invitation to God to just bring it on and bring me more, the more these kind of situations happen pretty much all the time. That's just a wonderful grace story. Well, you can come to YouTube, Adventures in Grace, our channel. Subscribe if you'd like. You'll be able to get all these videos that we're doing. You can go back and look at them again. They're only 12 to 15 minutes apiece. Or you can go to the Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and you can follow us there. If you'd like, you can go to jimhockaday.com. It's a website. In fact, our new website is up. There's still some things being tweaked on it, so be patient with us. But also on the website, you can find our email, which is jhmi@jimhockaday.com. That's jhmi@jimhockaday.com. And I want you to send your grace testimonies to us so that we can read those and people can be enlightened and encouraged that God will do for them what he is doing for you. Until next time, God bless you. We'll see you soon.